and he will speak on tractors for SPDE driven by a fraction grind motion with non-trivial multiplicative noise.
Okay, first I would like to thank for the invitation. This is a joint work with Shen, Gao, Garrido, and Liu. And yeah, I'm interested in dealing with attractors for evolution equation. For instance, look at first at this deterministic evolution equation. Yeah, such an equation usually defines, if we have some uniqueness theorem, a dynamical system given here by the solution mapping. So, and yeah, of course, the solution mapping has a particular property. This semigroup property, and this semigroup property is used to investigate the dynamics of such a system. So, for instance, you could be interested in the long time behavior of the system, which means you ask what is the essential behavior. Can you find the region in the phase space where the essential behavior takes place, such as any states converge to this region, and if you are in this region, you never leave this region. This should also be a small region, a compact region, for instance, and sometimes one can show that it's compact. So this is one of usual things which are interesting objects in theory of partial differential equation. Yeah, condition for the existence, yeah, rather technical, phi has to be continuous, some compactness assumption, and we will see later what I call here dissipativity constant assumption. So there is some absorbing set in the phase space, should also be bounded. So, and after starting with some bounded set, after a particular time, the states of this set D are included in the set B. So now one can ask what happens if we have noise in the system. Yeah, could be an interesting question. Sometimes I heard talks given by physicists and they had the deterministic attractors and they put noise on the system, but they did not know how to interpret attractor. And so it's just, I think, important to ask the question, can you define such an object in an appropriate way? Now you could also, for instance, show if you have noise that the random attractor is close to the deterministic attractor. So two or other questions, but what you need is a model for noise. And here we consider a model of a noise given rather in a canonical form, some probability space, omega should be the path of the noise, and we need something to describe the dynamics of the noise. And this is this flow theta, keeping the measure P invariant and should be also periodic. So examples, for instance, is the fractional Brownian motion with the Hurst parameter between 0 and 1, some Gauss process, which has mean 0 and this covariance for the one-dimensional case. Of course, you could also write down this for higher-dimensional case. So, and if we choose h equal to 1/2, we have the usual Brownian motion. If h differs from 1/2, we have a process which is a Gauss process, but this process is neither a semi-Martingale nor Markov process. So only what we know here, or what we can use here, is, for instance, that this process has Hölder continuous paths. So another example is another kind of shift operator, is some stationary Ornstein-Uhlenbeck process, and there you have this shift operator. Okay, so now we would like to deal with the dynamic of some equation I have written down, perturbed by some noise, and what you get is an object which generalizes the nonlinear semigroup. It is a co-cycle. The important is that you have here somehow some these shift operators, and in particular, this difference gives somehow the difference in proof, in the proofs dealing with objects for deterministic and random dynamical systems. So, and yeah, this is a co-cycle, and when we have some measurability assumption for this phi and so on, then we call this a random dynamical system. One thing is important to mention here. Usually, in the theory of random dynamical system, you use the notation almost surely. But this is not allowed here, in particular, when you have almost surely with respect to these more than countable many tors here, you can collect omegas, and these omegas form maybe a set which is not measurable or which has a measure bigger than one. So we should avoid the notation almost surely. We should say here, for instance, something holds for all omega which are included in a theta t invariant set of full measure called omega prime. For instance, later I will call this also omega. So, yeah, generation of random dynamical systems. There's a famous paper by Michael Scheuzo and Ludwig Arnold, and they prove that, for instance, ordinary stochastic differential equation, allowed to generate such a random dynamical system. In particular, the problem there is that stochastic differential equations are defined only almost surely, and what they have to do, they have to find the version, or they have to find the perfection of such a set, parametric set of stochastic differential equations, which allow to give us here this co-cyclic property. So the base for this is somehow the Kolmogorov theorem or the Garcia-Rodemich-Ramsey lemma, but one, we will see this, it's somehow a problem that there are only nice versions of these theorems for finite dimensional state space. So consider now stochastic partial differential equations. For instance, here we have invite noise, and here we have a G, then suppose A is a generator of some C0 semigroup, then we have a notation of solution given by this operator equation, which is a mild solution, which gives us a mild solution. So, we have here suppose also the U0 is deterministic. Then for every U0, there exists a solution, but only almost surely. So, which means that for different initial conditions, we can have different exceptional sets. And this is somehow forbidden for random dynamical systems. So in particular, of course, why this happens, this is clear, yes, somehow define stochastic integrals like this. You somehow have to use some Riemann sums, and you consider the limited probability of these sums. And of course, when you do this procedure, there appear exceptional sets, and these exceptional sets may depend on U0 in general. So, of course, there are simple examples where we can show that these exceptional sets does not play any role. For instance, when we replace the G here by identical mapping, then we have additive noise, or what we have also seen in one of the talks in the morning, if you have multiplicative noise, then we can somehow transform this stochastic evolution equation, and then what we get are equations without noise but with random coefficients, and these equations can be handled omega-wise, and so there is no problem with exceptional sets, and we get an random dynamical system easily. So, okay, what I would like to do now is I would try to introduce pathwise integral to get a random dynamical system, and then to find attractors for this random dynamical system. Pathwise integral means that we take not limit in probability, we take one path of the noise and construct some integral. So, and we also assume that we cannot use the usual theory of integration, that theta here is not Lipschitz. So there are some works dealing with this. Maybe the most classical work is a work by Young, who showed that one can expand the theory of integration from Lipschitz continuous functions to Hölder continuous if one assumes more or stronger condition for the integrand. Yeah, then there is the book by Zamko and co-authors, and in this book there is the collection of properties if you use fractional derivative to define this integral. Then there is the classical work by Lyon, and I mention here only the book, Tian, it's the rough path theory. Then there is a series of articles by Martina Zähler, and she used this integration using fractional derivatives for stochastic integrals, in particular for the fractional Brownian motion. Yeah, and then there are papers by David Noirlat and Rascano solving stochastic, ordinary stochastic differential equation when the Hurst parameter is bigger, 1/2, and then there's a paper by Hu and Noirlat, and they deal with the same problem but with other Hurst parameter. So there are also papers about infinite dimensional equations I will mention later. So for the following, I always assume that we have a Hurst parameter which is bigger than 1/2, and we have here some constants beta, and yeah, they are bigger than 1/2. So we consider we need some space where we can define the solution of all evolution equations, or where we can function which we can integrate with respect to our pathwise stochastic integral. So we take here a separable Hilbert space, and here a space of some continuous functions. So then we have here the Hölder continuous functions. So, and what we need is the following space, the C beta tilde, and this space is given in a way such there is regularization at T1. Yes, there's values get small of this term close to T1. So, and one can show that this is a Banner space. So this is important space for our calculation, we will see later. So then, to use fractional derivatives to introduce stochastic integrals, I give here the notation of these integrals. We suppose here that V and V hat are some separable Hilbert spaces. Yeah, and then you can write this expression, which is maybe well known. So in some sense, these expressions generalized the usual derivative. In particular, you can see that using these derivatives, you also have some integration by parts formula, which will be important for the following. So, yeah, this is here just this integration by parts formula. Yeah, you can shift this d to the other side, then you have maybe here if theta is suddenly smooth, is C1, yeah, then you have usually expression you know from integration by parts and vice versa. And in this way, we interpret here this integral. In particular, what we need here are these fractional derivatives, and these fractional derivatives, this is here written down at first one dimensional, so we have now here for these spaces R. So, and you need some spaces I, T1, alpha, and this is somehow spaces coming from fractional integrals, more or less image of these spaces with respect to these integrals. And if you have elements from these spaces, then it's allowed to apply these fractional derivatives under particular assumptions. So now we have to give an interpretation of our infinite dimensional integral. So what we need for the space V, we need the orthonormal base. We have some integrand G, which maps some time interval into the space of Hilbert-Schmidt operators, and we have some path omega. So we will assume, yeah, so when we have here this Hilbert-Schmidt space, this is separable, so we have some base. The base can be constructed using this space. So we somehow consider the projections to one-dimensional modes of these spaces. So, and what we assume is that these projections are in these I alpha spaces, and similar here with a little bit different parameters. In addition, we need that this expression here, somehow it's an estimate of the integrand we have in the following, that this is an L1. So then we can define these stochastic integrals for h bigger than 1/2 in this way. So in particular, we write down this in this way, it's first only notation, but somehow the meaning is given if we take the sums of these one-dimensional integrals. So this is our definition of a stochastic integral, and it is done, it can be done if these can be calculated, it is defined omega-wise if theta and g satisfy these assumptions. So in particular, we then have also an estimate of the norm given by this expression. So, and what we have here, this estimate can also later be used to consider the regularity, the Hölder continuity of this integral depending on the boundary, depending on the boundary T. So now we looking at mild solution, we need an analytic semigroup. So A should be an operator, positive, symmetric, should have a nice spectrum, real spectrum with eigenvalues, what one need in this case. So and then we consider this equation. So I forgot the term containing the F. This is not so important. If we will also have solutions when we add the Riemann integral here and the F, the nonlinearity F of U is simply Lipschitz. So we assume that U0 is in the space V. So then we know that these mappings unfortunately are not Hölder continuous. And that's, but we can show that this mapping T to the, ST applied to the initial condition, they have some singularity at zero. So, and this singularity can be smoothed if we use this norm here. So, in particular, what we then do is we write down for this equation a fixed point equation. So, we use here this tilde norm, we have here this estimate. We have here an additional parameter rho. So and this additional parameter rho is coming from an equivalent norm with some e to the minus rho here. And this e to the minus rho allows to handle any time interval. And even if the parameter of the g are 70 large, we can handle this choosing the rho 70 large. So in particular, this k of rho has a property I have written here, and this can be constructed if we evaluate the integrals. So it's important to use our definition of a stochastic integral that these functions, usually stochastic integrals are defined when we have Hölder continuous functions. But these functions are only almost Hölder continuous by this meaning of this tilde here. And so what we have to show is that this expression here, these one-dimensional parts of the nonlinearity somehow are in these spaces, and we are able to do this, and in this sense, these integrals are well defined.
What's the meaning of the rho there?
Rho. The rho is some parameter. You can choose. Something large, such that the k of rho is small. This norm with the rho here is equivalent to the original norm, but it's somehow a deformation of the norm. This is some constant where I have it so appearing here. So when you construct a solution, you have to consider this operator equation. So this has to be a mapping into, which is more or less shown here. And similar, you can show that satisfy if rho is sufficiently large, a contraction condition, and then you have a solution. So, okay, and what you also get, you can estimate these integrals here as a function of the upper limit, and this is Hölder continuous with respect to this norm, and you have this estimate here. And then I write here the omega, the norm of omega with 3 bars. I mean the semi-norm, but this is the norm because we have assumed that the path of the fractional Brownian motion starting at zero. Okay. mild solution random dynamical system, we can show that the above integral is defined for any omega in C beta. Here should be a zero, which means that I consider omega which are contained in zero. So, and then we have the following first theorem. The solution one generates a non-autonomous dynamical system, which means we have the co-cycle property if we are at the space here. So, and yeah, in particular, we can also show that the solution depends continuously on U0. And what we need later for attractors, we can also show that the mapping U0 to phi, the solution operator at time t, is compact if the t is positive. So, reason why we can do this, yeah, co-cycle property is quite simple. One has to shift integrals. When you are able to shift integrals, as you know this, for Lebesgue integrals, it's not hard to prove the co-cycle property. Here's a little bit more complicated because the parameter of the fractional derivatives depend on the boundaries of the integral. And so you have also to show that these fractional derivatives fit the shift of integrals. So there's another paper dealing with this kind of evolution equation written by Maslowski and David Noirlat, and they use other spaces, and they use also other definition of the integral. However, for our application, for the following, when we deal with attractor, it's not so simple to find from to derive from this, from spaces having this norm, this attractor. There's another problem. It's not so easy to get a solution for this equation if you have initial condition in V. You need, maybe it's easier, you need initial condition in V beta. So let me give the notation of a random attractor. Similar to the deterministic case, some sets are attracted, but these sets are now random, or depending when we consider non-autonomous dynamical system on the parameter omega. So, and we will consider here sub-exponentially growing sets which satisfying at least for t to minus infinite this property. So then a set A is called pullback attractor if this A is small or compact. If we have now this moving invariance, which shows that the attractor is somehow a stationary object, and we have this little bit strange convergence to the attractor, which means we shift back the fiber t steps going forward, the fiber t steps, and this, then the distance between these sets and the set A converge to zero with respect to the semi-Hausdorff norm. And this is true for any d. So let now be a random dynamical system. We have, in addition to this property measurability, then it's not hard to prove that we have a more realistic convergence to the attractor, but now we have here to move also the A of theta t. This is the forward convergence, this is the pullback convergence. So we would like now to show for our equation, we know this equation has a random dynamical system, generates a random dynamical system. We would like to show the existence of attractors. What we need is stopping times, and these stopping times somehow bound the behavior of the noise. So what we have here, at first we have this term, and one reason to introduce this term, here we have some mu, this has been chosen later, is that by this mu, the stopping times are bounded by 1. So a second reason we will see later, here we do the same in backward direction for negative time. So, and yeah, if the noise is large, or if I increase the tor, the domain for the Hölder norm, and this get large, then these times t of omega are small. So by this property, in particular also by the existence of the mu, the supremum function, which usually looks like when I increase the tor, so maybe this is a supremum function which has these plateaus here, but when I add this, this is a little bit stronger, not well drawn, this, but this is a little bit strongly increasing, and by this we can then show that if I go backward with respect to mu and forward with respect to this bound by mu, so I can show that I have between this forward stopping time and backward stopping time this relation, similar here. So this allows me to conclude that the stopping time, if I iterate the stopping time generate a co-cycle. So we have here some co-cycle of stopping time. So, and another property we need later is some sort of monotony of the stopping times. If I consider this, then I can show this inequality. So these stopping times are non-Markovian stopping times, so they're nothing to do with expectations and so on. So, when I consider at the integral of my equation, so I would like to show a priori estimates, energy estimates, and later dissipativity, I have to estimate this integral. So what I'm doing is I take the integral, this is more or less the right-hand side of my equation, and I split this equation into sub-integrals. So, and of course, here this is bounded by the stopping times, and these stopping times allow me to conclude if in the estimates for these integrals, the part giving us the noise, or estimating the noise, is bounded by mu. So what I get is this kind of estimate. Yeah. I have a right-hand side here. I consider this solution at the right-hand side of this mild solution equation and estimate the Hölder norm with respect to this interval. So then on the left-hand side, I have this expression here. This is coming from the initial condition. For a while, assume that I have here smooth initial condition. Later, we can forget this. So and then I have here these integrals. But what happens is, for every integral here, I have one sum term in this sum and one term in this sum. But what happens is that here in the first integral, we have the same estimate, the same expression we have on the left-hand side of our equation. So, but having this, I can now define a random a non-autonomous dynamical system. In particular, I would like to introduce a discrete random dynamical system or non-autonomous dynamical system, this time set C. So, and what I simply take is a solution at these stopping times. So, and this gives me, because of the co-cycle property of this TI non-autonomous dynamical system. So, and for this non-autonomous dynamical system, I now have estimates. So, and under particular assumptions, I can derive from what I have written here such an estimate. I have to use some discrete Cronwell lemma. So, and this estimate somehow is some sort of energy inequality. Yes, but this has a nice shape. In particular, we have here negative terms. This allow me somehow to construct an absorbing set. So, let me see. How to see that this absorbing set exists? I need a particular assumption. Absorbing set, pullback dissipativity means, so when I, similar what I have explained at the beginning, when I take my dynamical system, go backward t time steps, then I am in the set B of omega. When I choose the time sufficiently large, depending on the family of sets d and on the omega. So what I also need is some smallness assumption for the noise. So what I need, for instance, when I consider the equation for the stopping times. So the stopping times is bounded by 1. In particular, when you do not have any noise, then the stopping time is 1. So and then, here, this D would be 1. So if you have a real noise, maybe it's small, then you have here a constant which is a little bit smaller than 1. So, and you have to choose the noise in some sense so small that this inequality holds. So in particular, then you can, by some procedure, you can define this expression which is well defined. You see we have here some counting parameter m, which is negative. So this term is exponentially growing. So now we have here this lambda 1 over 2 tm. So and this lambda have a averaged grow given here. So and taking these both factors together, we see that this product is exponentially decreasing, and which means that the sum is well defined. And in particular, you can show that this ri are also, with respect to I, sub-exponentially increasing, and so what we get is an absorbing set in the above sense. So the result is rather that under the assumption we have made for the G, this was that G should be Lipschitz, and also the first derivative of G should be Lipschitz, then the non-autonomous dynamical system has a pullback attractor. So, and from this pullback attractor, then we can construct the random attractor. We simply define the A of omega like this, and then what you can show, for instance, convergence to the random attractor. So we know, if I consider such a term, I can use here the co-cycle property, rewriting this difference between this T and the capital T here is less than 1. So, and this means you can estimate the second term here inside the set. Yeah, this has a nice growth, sub-exponentially growing. And so this set is also attracted by the attractor A0 omega. And so we see that this term just converges to this term. So it's the same. Similar, you can get invariance. Okay, the result is under the assumption I have made that this equation has a unique random attractor. So, a few words, I think I have 3 minutes, a few words about the case h less than 1/2. So, you can never assume, if you consider a solution U, suppose we have a solution U for this, you can never assume that U is more regular than C beta. So then we will see in 2 lines, this stochastic or this integral is not well defined. So the way out, this is the idea by Hu and Nuala, was, let's say, introduce a compensated fractional derivatives. So then you can write down such a stochastic integral in this way, plus some reminder. So the reminder, so the compensated derivative is given here. So suppose, for instance, you have this derivative, then you forget simply this term. And what we see is we need that alpha is bigger than 1/2. So you see that then this expression has here a singularity at r. And this singularity is so strong, alpha is bigger than beta, that this integral is not defined. The integrand, if we forget this here, is not in L1. So adding this here, the second term, we can use here some Taylor approximation. So and what we get is that this is a term of second order, which is now 2-beta-Hölder continuous, and this 2-beta-Hölder continuity would give us the existence of this integral. So then we have the reminder, and in this reminder, a tensor appears. So and this term here is given by such a fractional derivative for the tensor. This is in the tensor product of V times V, for instance. So, okay. So, but this tensor, if we have a smooth omega, is given in this form. Yes, we take the omega, integrate this here, and then we get the tensor. The problem is, what is when the omega is not smooth. So from this integral is not defined for non-smooth. So what I get here is then, if I write down for evolution equation the idea of Hu and Ualá in this form, I get here this equation. This equation. So here we have this term, and here we have the remainder, and the role of the U tensor omega is now given by the V. But to define the V, we need a second equation. And in the second equation, we have particular terms, and the term of the semigroup is somehow given by this omega S tensor. So, and this is a complicated term. I don't like to talk about this. So, and to define this tensors for smooth, you would simply take your solution, yeah, to xi, to the times xi, and to get the tensor, you integrate this tensor product, yes, and then you can exchange the order of the integration, then you get this formula. So, and for the smooth case, this is two beta prime Hölder continuous. So, has also other nice property. For instance, the Shen inequality has to hold to derive all these fractional derivatives for the tensors. So, and this object just has this Shen inequality written here. Looks like this, a little bit different to the normal Shen inequality, but there's a Shen inequality you can use. So, but the question is now what to do when H is not, when the omega is not smooth, so for H equal 1/2, one can find that this omega S is two beta prime Hölder continuous in a little bit strange space. So tensors are defined with respect to a triangular time set. And so the operators, by tensor reasons, again, we need somehow here the L2 space. And this integral we have seen here, yeah, this should present somehow operators, yeah, acting on the space where this J is contained. So, but have operator valued integral, it's good to have a separable Banach space. And that is the reason why we have here introduced this space L2 for this, yeah, operators in L2, and the values should be in this space. So, yeah, under particular assumption on G and so on, I haven't written down all these assumptions, we can find a pathwise solution for this equation for any interval T. So, and yeah, the question is there a random dynamical system? This is just work in progress, and I think when you have a pathwise solution, it's not hard to prove the co-cycle property. We have two ideas of proof in mind. First, we can also shift these appearing fractional derivatives, the compensated and the tensor fractional derivative. And the second idea, one can also show that the solution I have stated here can be approximated by smooth areas and smooth territories. And because these for the smooth situation, we have in any case the co-cycle properties we should also have here. So, but at the moment, nothing is known about attractors. Also, there are ideas, but I should stop here. Thank you.
So if I understand well, everything is pathwise. So from the beginning to the end. So you could so there is no. So you could replace the fractional Brownian motion with processes which have essentially the same Hölder.
Hölder.
Because in fact, there is a rich class of processes which
But somehow I have used the fractional Brownian motion because I would like to have random dynamical system. And there's usual to have some sort of ergodicity and stationarity and fractional.
So at some point they will play.
But this is not for the co-cycle property. This is only for random dynamics. Yeah, but omega, you get an omega wise solution.
At some point, do you think you use really the structure of the law of fractional random motion? Or
the law, I think not. I only need the fact that's stationary.
This is somehow the basic
thing.
You have a metric dynamical system,
a noise, and the noise is stationary. And
because there are processes which are also non-Gaussian, which have the same covariant structure as the fractional Brownian motion, like Rosenblatt processes.
Perhaps you can use.
Can you include drift, which is not linear?
Yeah.
It should be C3.
Like U to power 3 minus U to power 3 or something like that?
But due to some assumptions, the derivative should be bounded.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance,
how does it relate to the work by Cubinelli and Tindall?
Yeah, I should have mentioned these names, but I have to apologize, I forgot. But I think there are differences in particular. What I'm going to use is a theory which is based more or less on work by Hu and Nualla, yes, and Maslowski Nualla, while Gubinello, for instance, is using this work, I think is based on this word Lion system.
But it's, well, it's equivalent. The two theories are equivalent.
Yeah, they are equivalent. Yeah. But I think. For me, it's simpler, or I found it simpler to get all the estimates I needed using these fractional derivatives. And I think I haven't seen their fractional derivatives in their work.
I forgot, is Brunner-Mushi included? No.
In the first part of the talk, not. In the second, yes. So when I... this theorem is for...
So I have here the assumption for the second part. I have made this assumption, and here Brownian motion is included. But for when I show the existence of attractor, it's not yet.
I have one more question about what exactly are the assumptions about G.
So here, in this case.
Which is the case? Just maybe the other case. Maybe the case H.
G has to be bounded. The first derivative has to be bounded, the second derivative has to be bounded, I think, and there is also maybe Lipschitz with respect to, so the second derivative should be Lipschitz, so which means the third derivative is bounded.
Okay.
So in particular also, as I told you, this is somehow written down for the finite dimensional case in Hu and Nualla, and they have that the second derivative is C2 plus lambda. C2 plus lambda. So the second derivative is Hölder. And this should also, but I took you only C3.
If there are no further questions, then we thank you once more.